Welcome back to another episode of City Hall Pass. I'm Kapel Lungani, counsel to the mayor of New York City. We created this forum, the first of its kind in New York City, to give you, the public, a unique window into the highest levels of our city government. We interview New York City's finest public servants and get them to open up in a way that is both deeply personal and insightful. And on its best days, we hope that our podcast is equal parts educational and inspiring. And now I want to introduce my two co-hosts today, two brilliant women who inspire me every day, Bess Chu and Kate Coughlin.
Thanks, Kapel. Happy to be here. This is Bess Chu. I'm currently Chief of Staff to the Office of the Counsel to the Mayor.
Hi, I'm Kate Coughlin, and I currently serve as Deputy Counsel for the Office of the Counsel to the Mayor.
Happy New Year, everyone. I want to wish all our City Hall Pass listeners a very happy and healthy 2021. And we have a great guest to kick off the new year, the Deputy Mayor for Operations, Laura Englund. As one of the mayor's most trusted advisors, Deputy Mayor Englund oversees many of the city's largest agencies, including the Department of Transportation, the Department of Buildings, and the Office of Emergency Management. The deputy mayor is widely respected both inside and outside of City Hall and has played a central role in the city's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Prior to joining New York City government, Deputy Mayor Englund served as president of the Commission on Independent Colleges and Universities. She also served in Albany as the state's deputy comptroller, deputy budget director, and finally, its budget director, the state's most senior budget official, where she enacted critical fiscal reforms to stabilize New York State's finances. In this episode, Deputy Mayor Englund talked about her decades of experience in state and local government and how that wealth of experience prepared her to play a key role in the city's COVID response efforts. We hope you enjoy. I'd like to welcome our next guest to City Hall Pass, someone who I have a great deal of respect for, someone I've worked with very closely during the almost 2 years I've been here in City Hall, and I can't think of anyone who has a better insight into what this administration has gone through over the last 7 to 8 months, the so-called COVID era, than Deputy Mayor Laura Englund, who is the Deputy Mayor of Operations, someone who has just an extraordinary background, which she uses every single day in managing the agencies under her, including the fire department, the Office of Emergency Management, and the Department of Citywide Administrative Services, amongst others. And without further ado, I want to bring on the Deputy Mayor of Operations, Deputy Mayor Laura Englund. Welcome to City Hall Pass, Deputy Mayor.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us. Deputy Mayor, I know you're one of the most humble people on earth, so it's painful for you to hear any praise of the work that you do, so we'll keep it limited. I want to start by saying, you know, you oversee the Department of Transportation, mm-hmm. you oversee the Department of Buildings. You know, these are agencies that your average New Yorker encounters in some way, shape, or form, even if they don't know.
Every day.
And as someone who oversees these agencies, I think it's interesting for people to hear that you suffer from many of the same frustrations that they do on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. A favorite story, just to give you an example, you know, I was walking down 2nd Avenue. This had to be my first year. And the snow was melting, it was in the winter, and the sewer drains were clogged. So the streets were getting flooded. So I had my boots on and I'm clearing out the drains, the grates. And I call the commissioner, Vinny Sapienza, who's a terrific guy. And I say, Vinny, I'm cleaning out the grates for you on 2nd Avenue. He goes, thanks for helping the team out. It was like he just went right with it. He's like, you know, you go. So it was like, yes, things like that drive me a little nutty and I will take action. I pick up trash on the streets. It just makes me crazy to see things that we could be fixed. And we do fix them. But when you're on the ground, you can probably see them quicker. And I often will spend my weekends walking around the city with my camera and on my phone and take pictures and send them to commissioners and say, is this something we can look into? Because I feel it's important that for my job that I'm out in the field seeing what's going on in all 5 boroughs. And I make sure that I do that on a regular basis, especially if we're seeing, you know, new programs or if I'm just walking around and looking at the conditions in neighborhoods that I know that we're concerned about and that we're working on. I think it's important to be on the ground because otherwise I don't think you can understand what's going on.
Do you use that management approach not only with your agencies, but with your own team as well?
I do. My team is fabulous. They have been doing just extraordinary work since I started here, but also especially during the pandemic. My management style and what I spent a lot of time working, there's a couple of things that I always tell people. One, no surprises. And everyone says that, no surprises, but really no surprises. I'd rather know if something is going on than try to hide it because I'm going to find out eventually. So please just, if there's an issue, come tell me. The second thing I'd always say is don't come to me with a problem unless you have thoughts on a solution, because I have many problems during my day and I cannot solve every one of them, but I can listen to your thoughts and give my recommendations and we can work on it together. And the third thing that I would say, and my staff knows, the third thing that I would say is never, and I'll say this to every young person out there, never make up an answer to a question that your principal is asking, because there's a good chance you're going to be wrong. That principal will go out there and say something or take action on what you said. And then you're in hot water. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I need to get back to you on that. I'm not quite sure of the answer. I want to make sure I give you right information. So I get frustrated, and my staff knows this, that don't give me information because you think I want an immediate answer. I want a right answer. I don't want an immediate answer. And then teamwork. I believe in camaraderie. I try to pull people together, not so much now during the pandemic, but we used to try to get together, do things offsite, just to talk about what's going on in everyone's lives, because I think it's important that you understand that, you know, my life is a lot of this place and everyone here, but people actually do have other things going on outside their life. And it's nice to hear about, especially good news or things that are going on. Take a little break from, you know, the seriousness of everything that's going on right now. So I think it's really showing that you care about them as well. And any one of them knows that at any point they can pick up a phone and call me no matter what I'm doing, and we can work through something together. And they do, and I appreciate that.
One of the things you just said was, in terms of things you value as a manager, is your staff and your commissioners coming to you in response to a question and saying, we just don't know, we'll get back to you, rather than making something up on the spot. There is a feeling that we have to give an answer of some type right now. And I think it is courageous to be able to say in a group of a lot of powerful people, I just don't know, but I'll get back to you. And it doesn't seem like there's any courage necessary to say that.
Oh, I think there's a lot more courage, because I think people feel like you having an instant answer or knowing everything, it shows your value, shows your worth.
Yeah, it directly relates to your competence.
And I mean, I would love to, you know, if I'm there asking me a question, know every single answer. I will only give them the answer if I'm sure that's the correct answer. You know, appreciate for my staff too, because your worth is knowing what you can, cannot do, what you know, what you don't know, and distinguishing them and then coming back with the correct information that allows a policymaker then to make, hopefully, you know, a better decision on how we're going to move forward with something.
Deputy Mayor, can you tell us a little bit more about what has influenced you and influenced your commitment to public service?
Sure. So my family, we grew up, I was born here in Queens, moved out to Long Island when I was a young kid. I have two brothers, and my father was a first generation American. His parents came here from former Czechoslovakia. I remember, you know, growing up, like, my father was the first person in his family that ever went to college. My father started as a junior accountant in a manufacturing company on Long Island, and who worked his way up to the ranks where he became CFO, senior vice president. And every year the company, they had a plant where there were manufacturing heating and baseboard, but the company would have a barbecue every year in the back of the plant, and where you would have the executives, the line workers, and then, you know, the entire company would come together. Everyone from the plant, all the workers would come up and like thank me for my father. And I'm young. I'm like, I don't quite understand why they're thanking me. So I asked my father, I asked my mother. And my mother says whenever the company wanted to cut healthcare benefits to the workers, he was the one in the room that fought every day to make sure that they had those benefits. And so it really kind of made me feel how important it is to make sure that people have what they need, which led to my public service, as I kind of saw in him, like he wanted to protect, not only make sure the company could survive, but the workers had a living wage, they had health insurance. And for me, I kind of took it as a passion to make sure that people have what they need.
Deputy Mayor, you've spent quite a bit of time working and serving at the state level. What brought you to city government?
Oh, it's a good question, Bess. So I spent, prior to coming to New York City, I spent over 20 years in state government and in various different positions. One of my favorite stories that I like to tell young people is that I started as an intern in state government. And it was just the passion that I felt, even as an intern, of being a public servant and the work that you're doing and the dedication, that I think it's something that's in your blood and it's something that you feel deeply about that you want to make sure you give back to the people. So I spent, as I said, over 20 years in state government, and then I went into the private sector. And I had worked in much of my career either with or close to the now First Deputy Mayor, Dean Fuglihan, who was, when I joined the administration, was OMB budget director. And Dean and I worked together in the New York State Assembly for, seven, 8 years. And then when I worked for the controller's office, we worked together. He was still with the assembly. And then when I became budget director, you know, we were counterparts in budget negotiations and legislation. And so we've stayed close over the years. And so I came first and met with Tony Shores, the first deputy mayor at the time, because the position was chief administrative officer working for him. And then wound up meeting with the mayor, where we talked a lot about really our values, how you're raised, how you grew up, you know, what your beliefs are. It was a very unique interview because he really wanted to know who you are, what made you who you are. So I was excited when this opportunity had come up because I had actually left public service and went into the private sector for the first time in my career, besides when I was working in a supermarket when I was in high school or something like that. But so it was a great way to come back into public service, but in a different way, meaning, you know, the state government, working for a state government versus working for a locality are really two very different things. And coming here and moving to New York City permanently, walking around the city in areas that you've never seen before. And since I do operations, I really felt like I could look at the city with a fresh set of eyes. And then the one thing I love about working for the city, which you didn't get so much when I was in the state, especially as budget director, is you can actually see the results of what you do.
Hey there, and thanks for listening to City Hall Pass. We'll be right back with more from our conversation with Deputy Mayor Laura Anglin. But I want to take a second to remind our listeners to get tested for COVID-19. And remember, tests are free and confidential. Text COVID-TEST to 85548 or visit nyc.gov/COVID-TEST to find a convenient site near you. I also want to remind our listeners that there's a new COVID-19 hotline. Call for free advice from medical staff, quarantine guidance, emergency food, hotel rooms, mental health counseling, travel guidance, and more. Call 212-COVID-19 from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Back to you, Kate.
So I am the liaison to your team. And for those of you who don't know what that means, everyone on our team is basically signed to Deputy Mayor team, and that's the first line of communication. Because of your team, I've worked on some really cool things like earthquake mitigation, snow emergencies, the Billy Idol Does an Idol campaign.
That seems so long ago, Kate. That was right before the pandemic hit. And we were out here in front of City Hall with Billy Idol. And I have all the magnets that we handed out in my refrigerator at home just to remind me that we actually did do things other than the pandemic. But
yeah. And that was a really cool one. It was just so creative.
It was a really cool one.
I think the last thing that we worked on that was really cool together was when your chief of staff, Aloy Z, was nominated and then TLC commissioner. So that was someone I really looked up to, and I really respect Aloy Z a lot.
Yeah, she's doing a great job too.
Yeah. And I think your team has been able to do all those things because the respect that not only your team has for you, but our team and really all teams in City Hall have for you and all agencies have for you.
Yeah, it's all mutual too. I think that's important.
Yeah. But I think in a lot of ways, your role maybe has changed during COVID. Can you speak a little bit about how your role has changed during COVID?
It definitely has, especially in the beginning. You know, when the pandemic hit, we decided that we had a structure where we had to get organized to be able to tackle the different things that we knew were coming our way, especially, you know, at the end of February, beginning of March. So I was fortunate that the mayor created a policy team, and I was one of four people on that policy team, along with Emma Wolf, the mayor's chief of staff, Dean Fuglihan, the first deputy mayor, and Melanie Hartsog, the budget director. And the four of us, really every decision of everything that was going on, we sat in a room together at OEM and just made decisions and guided people in things that were happening in the, it seems like in the minutes. And so what we found is that we had to go really outside our current portfolios in this role, this policy role, and really each needed to wear different hats. I mean, it was not only us that really changed roles, but we called on our commissioners to wear three or four hats at a given time because there was just so much that needed to get done. The one thing I learned from the pandemic, and to your point, Kate, and then I'm happy to take more questions, is something would get thrown at you that I had no clue what it was, how to do it, what it was about, and you just learned really quickly. And I think that's part of doing public policy for so many years, that you know who to go to, who to talk to, who to bring together, because it wasn't like I wasn't going to individually solve all these problems. So I may have brought together the fire department, the police department, the medical examiner. I mean, there were just problems we had to solve and policy decisions we had to make. We brought together the best minds in areas that I'd never have covered before. Created a food distribution program, which was phenomenal to feed that many people in such a short period of time, because the mayor and his vision was like, this is going to be tough for people. And, you know, a lot of people lost their jobs, a lot of income was lost, and we needed to make sure that anyone who needed food got food. And so we created the Get Food program, but it was definitely one of the hardest times in my personal and professional life that I ever went through.
Deputy Mayor England, our team worked really closely with your team to establish the Open Restaurants Program, which allowed for outdoor dining. We worked really closely with nearly a dozen agencies to figure out how to stand up the program successfully. Can you talk a little bit about the program?
Yeah, outdoor dining was a big one. And I also walk around the city all the time and look at the different setups and what we can do better. But it was probably one of our bigger accomplishments. And I want to thank, you know, the Department of Transportation, you know, Commissioner Trottenberg, as well as our building departments and the fire department, because it was a program we stood up in days, because we saw that the restaurant industry was struggling. People were going stir crazy by not, and the weather was getting nicer. People were clamoring to get out in a safe way, because it really was a quality of life issue of really not being, having anywhere to go and being cooped up, you know, indoors for so long. So to set up that program that quickly, where now we have over 10,400 restaurants that are in the program, it's super exciting to see the creativity that has gone into some of these restaurants. That's why I love it. And it's like the restaurants have made it like an extension of themselves, an extension of the interior of their restaurant. And I walked once a week and I try to find one street to walk down, and it is, people are having a good time. They are, and it's, restaurants are out there, and it's a lot of fun to see that people are able to do this in an outdoor way.
Yeah, I mean, I think people don't understand how complex pulling off that outdoor dining program
was. Oh, Lord, yes, it was really complex. So, you know, and the mayor, to his credit, always says, do it simple. Don't be bureaucratic. To have an application that was done online, specs that were drawn up, we visited every restaurant site, not once, sometimes two or three times, to make sure that their setup was meeting the requirements, the safety requirements, giving them advice, and then giving them the opportunity to just send us a photo, upload it to our website so that they didn't have to come in and wait in line and prove they did it. So we really tried to do it that it was the least onerous that we could be on the restaurant owner, but also wanted to make sure that we had specs. And clearly we have to have some protection for the diners who are sitting there. But we, spending the time with them, then they understood that we were there to try to help them. We weren't there to do a gotcha. We weren't there to say, we're here to give a violation. Clearly the direction the mayor gave us as we were doing this, it's like, be as business friendly as you can be. Remember what, you know, these owners are going through, these restaurants are going through, and be helpful. So that's what I think what we tried to do. I think we actually did a good job in this program doing that.
I have a picture in my head. When people talk about COVID, I have this picture of the first time the mayor called everybody to the Office of Emergency Management, and they have, is it called a situation room?
It's called the sit room, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a situation room where there's a really long rectangular table.
Screens up all over.
Screens
TVs,
up all over.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like the movies.
Yeah.
And I had never been there before COVID. And I remember that first day when I walked in, I saw the table and I saw you sitting right at the front, and there was one seat next to you that was empty. And I realized that's where the mayor was going to sit. And I thought to myself, I wonder what the deputy mayor must be thinking right now. I mean, here we are going into this. It was uncharted waters. Nobody knew what we were going into, but I think everyone knew this was unusual. One of the initial decisions we made when there was a shortage of PPE was to produce our own hand sanitizer.
Who would have even thought that we could actually make hand sanitizer? And literally, we turned in an operation that we were making thousands upon thousands of bottles a week. And we never charged for them. That was not the goal, to sell them. Clearly, the bottles do say, you know, not for resale or not for sale. But we were able to help, like, you know, nursing homes, adult centers, some of our sheltering facilities, because they couldn't find it at that point. And so it was something we felt, and the mayor felt very strongly, that we figure out any way the city could to start producing our own stuff, because then we could control it. And the hardest part at that point was finding the materials, because they were even scarce. But, you know, DEP, Commissioner Sapienza, did a great job. I think it's the best hand sanitizer in the world, and I still use it to this day.
Okay, we're going to wrap with a new game, and we call it Anglin' for Answers. So I'm going to provide you with two words, and you pick one. It's basically this or that. Sounds pretty simple, but here we go. All right, first question, Albany or NYC?
NYC.
Rats or potholes?
Rats.
Billy Idol idling or Oscar the Grouch for the census?
Oscar the Grouch for the census.
That's the way we've always done it, or that will never work?
Neither, because I would get angry if either one of those were raised with me. So
I know you hate those two phrases.
I do. I mean, that will never work. I would accept more than it's always been done this way, because that I really can't stand. But
okay, snow or heat?
They're both terrible.
Okay. And this is the last question for all the Elton John fans out there. Tiny Dancer or Your Song?
Oh, Your Song, without a doubt.
And that concludes the first and probably the last round of Anglin' for Answers.
Now I want to know what I win. Did I win something? Or, you know, it's not really a game if there's no prize.
Deputy Mayor, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. As always, we appreciate your candor and willingness to share your wisdom with our audience. Thanks again.
All right, I'm going to leave you guys. Thank you. Thank you.
I want to thank my friend, the Deputy Mayor for Operations, Laura Anglin, for joining us today. I talk to the Deputy Mayor almost every night, and frankly, every time I hang up the phone with her, I feel smarter. She's a true treasure, and the city's benefited a great deal from her experience during this critical time. We hope you enjoyed this conversation, and thank you for joining our first episode of 2021. And if you missed it, we're now going to be taping episodes of City Hall Pass every 2 weeks. So with that, we'll talk to you soon.
This podcast is brought to you by the Office of the Counsel to the Mayor of New York City.